We are marked. We are marked by the lines where spines have been, by the calluses of our labor, by the scars of our struggles, and by the strength of our prayers, all of which tell the story of who we are. Yet there's another mark, one that sets us apart from others and from who we once were. Unlike our physical marks, this mark can't be seen by human eyes, nor felt by human touch. Yet it's as present as the wind in the trees, for it is the mark of whose we are, rather than who we are. We are not our own. Our stories, our struggles, our victories, and our joys are all part of something larger, something greater than ourselves. This journey we call life is not about finding ourselves so much as it is about losing ourselves and finding Him. As we move toward discovering Him, we become free to explore the depth and breadth of His love and His being. We realize that being a saved people doesn't mean we are a safe people, set upon a shelf to await His return. No, we're not safe, but rather we're sent from a comfortable place in society to the outcasts and the vulnerable, from an easy definition of friend and family to an ability to embrace the enemy with God's love, from inside the church walls to a world outside that needs Jesus. Our vision is to join God in His mission to go wherever we must and do whatever it takes to penetrate the darkness and rescue the lost. We are set apart. We are marked. We are not our own. We are His.
Be ready for an update on my 14-month-old tomato plant. For those of you who may not know, I waited an entire season before I put this plant in the ground. Had a 6-tomato plant, little flat there. These are patio tomatoes. This was last spring, and I gave several away, and I had one left. And the poor thing, I've been tormenting it for 14 months. It was probably planted as a seed, probably in about January of last year, last year. And this thing has been itching to do something, right? I waited till October to do anything with it. I put it in a big pot at that point, and I brought it into the barber shop, and the poor thing lasted all winter reaching for the sun, growing spindly and straggly and putting out little blossoms as though it was going to try to do something, but it never did anything. So it was all tangled up in a gnarly mess, and this spring I put it out and gave it a first test of the wind and a little bit of rain, and boy, it didn't fare so well. It looked even worse. So what I did, I cut off all the dead stuff and I put it here outside to its new summer permanent home. I tied it up to the trellis and tied it up to the fence or the deck post there just to see what it does. I am looking forward to bringing you a red ripe tomato at some point this summer. Amen. Wouldn't you like that? A plant that has defied all odds. I don't even know how long tomato plants live. I just thought that we would try it and see what happens. We might be able to learn something from the tomato plant. So we're just watching it as we go here. Mark chapter 4, if you have your Bibles, we're continuing in our series, Four Grown Men. We're talking about the disciples that every time Jesus spoke, moved, did a miracle, communicated with people, interacted with individuals, the disciples were there. They were watching, taking cues from Jesus on how they were supposed to do it. Now, they were nervous. I get the sense that when Jesus said, "Now go do as I have done," they were like, "Well, you're going to be with us, aren't you?" And he was like, "No, I got to go." And the first thought that went through their minds undoubtedly was, "Well, we can't do this without you." And Jesus was like, "Well, yes, you can. Because I'm sending the Holy Spirit into your life so that you can do what I've done. In fact, hear me all the way back, even greater things than what I've done, you will do because I'm going to the Father for you." Amen? Woo! That's pretty big. That means that what Jesus has done is going to be reproducible in and through you, and even greater things than Jesus did as he interacted with people. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Here we're looking at Jesus continuing to talk about seeds. And two parables here. By the way, I want to welcome you who are joining us online this morning. It's always a pleasure to have you, especially I'm seeing some real interest from Virginia. So if you're joining us from Virginia this week, thank you so much for joining us. There's some contact information on the bottom of the webpage there, and we'd love to hear from you in regards to how the Ministry of Living Well can help you, and we can partner together in sharing the gospel. He said this also, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come." Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word of God to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything. And that's what we're doing here this morning as the ministry of the Holy Spirit is engaging your heart and engaging your intellect and engaging your emotions. He's explaining everything to you. Amen? Jeanette and I used to collect seeds for the Department of Conservation. They used to pay a little bit. I doubt that they do anymore, but they used to pay a little bit for good quality acorns, walnuts, butternuts, unusual things. Jeanette and I would go try to find a nice tree and look to see, and we'd have to squash each nut to see if there's a certain percentage of, worms in each nut. And so you had to have like 80% good seed. Once you turned it in, and when you turned it in, in these big burlap bags, you'd get money for it. It was pretty awesome. I doubt that they still do that. But that's how all these tree plantations have started, is by people like you and me collecting seed, good seed, and turning it in, getting a little cash for it. All of the potential of this mighty oak tree is in that seed. We're aware of it. But that seed, once it grows and produces a tree, which will produce a crop of literally hundreds of thousands of seeds over the course of its lifetime. Now, who here doesn't want to grow to their full potential? We all do. That's an obvious question. By looking at seeds, Jesus is teaching his disciples that when you see the seed, this little seed that doesn't look like it could do anything, really much of any significance, when you look at that seed, I want you to consider that the same result or the same effect that that little seed has in the world is the effect that the gospel is going to have in your life. You see, within each seed are many miracles, blessings of God, a myriad of capabilities, proofs of God, gems of optimism, potential for life, all of that will be missed if the seed isn't allowed to do what it was put on this earth to do. Seeds still have us stumped, though, don't they? Scientists look at what makes a seed, they look in the inside of the seed to look at what in the world makes this thing do what it does. We can't produce it, we can't reproduce it, we can manipulate it a little bit, but it's without it doing what only it can do, it's just a little clump of stuff. But oh, what it does when it does what it's created to do. Amazing miracle, and a mysterious, mystical miracle at that. So in the parable of the growing plant, we're reminded that there is a mysterious miracle about how growth happens in two areas. Number one, in the individual, and number two, as the seed is given to others. You see, the gospel will grow in every life that has received it. Amen? Now, I'm telling you, what looks little back when you were 7 or 8, when you received the gospel, or when you were 25 or 30, or when you were 45 or 50, or when you were 70, what looks little when you receive the gospel, you realize you haven't had to prop that up at all. You realize that that growth that is happening in you is self-sustaining and powerful. Now, there's been times that you've doubted, hasn't there? We've doubted that the power of that little seed could do anything in our lives. But when we look back, we realize that it's been that gospel message, the truth of the life of Jesus in us that we can't fake or manipulate, that has brought us through every single time. Amen, Lisa? But the seed must be welcomed into good soil in our lives. And we're kind of like little farmers. Just as Jesus said, the farmer goes out and sows his seed, so are we to do what Jesus has done. We are to now take the seeds of the gospel that we have received and share them into the lives of others. And that seed will eventually bring forth fruit 30, 60, or even 100 times over what you've planted. You know, it reminds me of the fact that all of us here today probably have at least 30, 60, or maybe even 100 people that we carry primary key roles of influence with in our lives. Think about that. 30, 60, or maybe even 100 people that God is counting on you to share the words of the gospel with. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. One of our tasks as Christ followers is to sow the word of God as a farmer scatters his seed. I love watching how God blesses when you and I share seeds of the gospel. Oh, it's not necessarily me getting Deb, backed into a corner and said, Jesus loves you and he died for you. Now that could include that, but it might have something more to do on a daily basis with how I react when I could be defensive. Instead, I have the confidence and the self-sustaining power of the gospel in me that says I don't have to overpower when I could get defensive. Instead, I become a servant and I'm willing to serve. That's the power of the gospel. Amen? And it plants a seed when people are looking at us and they say, how you doing? Sometimes we program a response and we say, I'm fine. Think about this morning deprogramming that automated response to, I'm trusting. Really? What do you mean you're trusting? Or, how you doing? I'm optimistic. Really? What are you... Now, they may go, oh, that's great. But they may say, well, optimistic about what's happening in your life, and you get to share. But you see, you just throw out a little seed, throw out a little, do a little fishing, cast it out, and reel it back in, just to see if anybody's biting, you know what I mean? Plant the seeds of the gospel. And Jesus says, we don't even have to make it happen. It happens all by itself. Amen? Isn't that encouraging? According to verse 27, things grow, but I love how the Greek puts it. It says, the word order is quite lively. It says, how? He does not know. It grows. How? He does not know. Every good word planted in the name of Jesus will bring forth fruit. All of us are trusting in something this morning. All of us are trusting, for instance, in the chairs that we have put our weight in. Did you know that the chairs that you're sitting in are actually pure energy? Quantum physics shows us that the things that we consider as solids or matter are actually pure energy. And you are, even though you don't understand how that works, you're still putting your trust in that chair that it's not going to disintegrate the minute you put your weight in it. The same is true with the gospel. Though we don't understand how that works, some of us maybe need to let go of the desire, the urge to put it on a table and dissect it and see how it works. But you'll never be able to do that with the power of the gospel. Just like we can't do that with the power of the seed. We're going to have to respond to the invitation to trust in Jesus as generations of people have that have preceded us and people who are today living before us, that there's something happening that's beyond us, in us, keeping us alive and growing and thriving. And it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the power of the gospel in each of us. Praise His name. And all this happens without us forcing it or manipulating it. People are drawn to the gospel because its truth is like a seed. Starting small in us, it keeps growing new every morning. Rather than having to prop it up, it takes over in strength and power, proving over and over again what Jesus said to be true. And after 2,000 years of scrutiny, the gospel is growing faster than it's ever grown before in the world. The term all by itself in verse 28 from the Greek comes, it's the word that we have as a root word for our word, automatic. All by itself. The farmer plants the seed in the ground, and then all by itself, it sprouts. And the farmer gets up and he lays down and he goes to sleep and he goes to work and he might water it, he might pull weeds around it, but he leaves the seed alone because all by itself it's doing what it was created to do. The power of Jesus alive in us. Aren't you glad we don't have to manipulate it? The power of Jesus alive in us. So we've got two parts to do. Number one is to welcome the seed of the gospel into the good soil of our hearts. And number two, to in turn sow the good seed into the lives of others. Now, this can be hard work. Amen. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Amen. Some of you have got some family and friends that you've been praying for years. Amen. Hudson Taylor, missionary to China, used to say that there's three qualifications for being a missionary. Number one, patience. Number two, patience. And number three, patience. Here's how I would summarize this parable. Our part is to sow. God's part is to make it grow. And the growth may be slow, but eventually it will show. Amen. I can tell you that Jeanette and I have been praying for family members in our family for years. There was a whole lot of your family, Jeanette, that didn't know Christ back when we met. And I remember, you know, praying for them, and one by one, they've come to Christ. It's been a beautiful, beautiful thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 7. I planted, Apollos watered, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. It's good for us to be reminded of some characteristics of spiritual growth. Number one, it's normal for a Christian to grow. How you growing lately? How's your growth? Seriously. How is your faith? How is your trust? How is your witness? How is your testimony? How is your participation in Christian community? How are you growing? How's your attitude? How are you in seeing things through the eyes of Christ? You see, if we're not growing, something's probably wrong. There's a whole lot of farmers nervous right now who planted before all the rain because the ground temperature hasn't risen like maybe we had hoped, and that seed is sitting in really wet soil, and there's a chance that it may not come up because it's not in prime soil right now. If you're not growing this morning, think about the things that may need to be happening for life to thrive in your life. Number two, it's normal not to see immediate results from sharing the gospel. Sometimes it just takes a while. Amen. You may be just one in the line of many sowers that have to sow seed in order for that gospel seed to finally take root in their life. Stay faithful. Amen. Germination is also spontaneous, but growth is not instantaneous. Growth is going to take time. By the way, be patient with those who are growing. Aren't we all growing? Amen. And people have been patient with me and graceful with me as I've stumbled through and tried to grow, as I've met the challenges of life. Hey, remember, be patient with the people in your life who are growing, because we're all growing. Amen. Be intentional about your growth. We're talking really here, obviously, about a relationship with Jesus. It means, like we talked about in Discipleship, our book this week, it means reading the letters of God as though you're reading a letter from your lover. Reading as though every word you're waiting to see their heart and waiting for them to reveal their love for you. That's God. He so desires for you and I to know how much He loves us and cares for us. And that's where the growth is. So pray. Spend time with Him. Be intentional about our growth. Our job as little farmers is to remove the growth barriers in the lives of others. But remember that God brings the growth. Amen. We can't make it happen. That's God's job. By the way, sow the seed in your children and wait for it to sprout. Amen. I want to thank my mom and dad for sowing the seeds of the gospel in my life. See how it multiplies. And your folks shared the seed of the gospel in your lives. See how it multiplies. Amen. Well, we will get tired because sometimes it's exhausting. Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows, which leads to growing and finally to showing fruit. Showing. The next part, the second part, Jesus takes a mustard seed and he says, do you realize that the gospel is like this? Even though it's the smallest seed of garden plants, it becomes this largest of all plants in the garden. In fact, even the birds of the air are going to perch and put their weight on the branches of the mustard bush. Jesus is saying that even though it starts small, it's amazing what it will become. I'm told that there's about 21,000 seeds in 1 ounce. It takes 21,000 seeds to make up an ounce. That's a lot of little seeds. But look what one seed will do. Amen. Let's think about how Jesus entered this world. He was born in the little town of Bethlehem, just a little seed, reared in the backwaters of Galilee in a desperate, hardscrabble town named Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Jesus' parentage was questioned, and his followers were a ragtag team of misfits. He was rejected by his own people and despised by others. He was crucified and put in a common criminal. Then his body was put in a borrowed tomb. The gospel continues to grow, confirmed by generations and centuries of people. Look what God continues to do. I'd like to invite our ushers to begin distributing the elements of communion as I read this morning from John chapter 12. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. When it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all garden plants. The smallest turns into the tallest. The mustard bush becomes a shrub-like plant that grows into like a tree, some growing as high as 15 feet. When the seed was first planted, it looked like nothing much was happening. There were a few followers of Jesus. Acts chapter 1 verse 15 says there were about 120 devoted believers, but on the day of Pentecost, over 3,000 were saved that day. A short time later, another 5,000 came to Christ at one time, and not too many days later, the church in Jerusalem was said to number 50,000 people. And the growth of the gospel continues to happen today. Revelation 7 verses 9 through 10. This is how the story ends. Amen. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, and people and language, standing before the throne and in the front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes. And were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. The fact is, there's nothing that we can do to make it happen, and there's nothing that we can do to stop it. Amen. Did you know, Steve, that there's been billions, zillions of seeds that and plants that self-propagate without any human intervention? Such is the power of the gospel, alive and at work in us. And Jesus said, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, this bread represents the broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May we recognize His death, falling to the ground, being buried for us, that we may live. Let's receive. Jesus says this bush, this gospel continues to grow so large that even the birds of the air can come and fly and sit in its branches. While commentators have speculated what that means, it's a general principle of wherever the gospel happens, wherever the gospel is planted, wherever the gospel grows in our lives and in places in the world, cannibalism stops. Polygamy stops. Child sacrifice stops. Hospitals rise up. Orphanages happen. Lives are valued. Amen. Every place the gospel goes, good stuff happens. Yes. We can't stop it. All the power of hell can't stop it. But we can be part of it. Amen. Now, we can't manipulate it, because only God can make it grow. But we can be a part of removing barriers and maybe pulling out some weeds in our life and watering it, tending it. But God makes it grow. Praise His name. I'd like to invite our worship team to come up. And Steve and Rob, Bill, Renata, would you lead us in that song, Communion? Some action steps this morning. Remember that on Wednesday nights, if you didn't get it from Bill, you didn't get it from Greg out at Lost Lake, well, there's another opportunity to be a part of discipleship here at Living Well. And at 6:30, before we get into the material, we pray. We bring friends and family before Christ that the seeds of the gospel may be planted in our life and theirs. Amen. Mm-hmm. So before we study material, we spend time with Jesus in prayer. There's a prayer basket back there. Put your prayer requests on there. Text the prayer requests, email. Every prayer request that we get that comes in is put on in Jeanette's prayer journal every Wednesday night. And we gather for prayer as we lift each other up, that the seeds of the gospel may be sown into our lives. Amen. Broken body and the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. May it preserve you blameless into everlasting life. Remember that Jesus gave His life for you and for me. Let's receive.
Body This is the blood broken and poured out for all of us. In this communion, we share in His love. This is the body. This is the blood.
If you'd like to stand and sing, let's
sing. I will remember everything, Lord, You've done for me. I won't take for granted the sacrifice that set me free. I hunger and thirst for Your love. Come fill me today. This is the body. This is the blood. Broken and poured out for all of us. In this communion, we share in His love. This is the body. This is the blood. This is the body. This is the blood. This is the body. This is the blood.
Amen. Colossians 1:3-6 says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring up from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise His name.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven.
Yes.
God bless you guys. You are dismissed.
Amen. Have a great week.